Welcome to this message by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Bishop Edwin Ogo is a seasoned minister of the Word of God whose messages on Christian living, church building, and the work of the ministry are a great inspiration to ministers all over the world. He pastors the McInerney Cathedral in Oyibi, where he ministers powerfully in various services, transforming lives and raising zealous church workers. You will experience the transformational force and power of God's Word as he ministers passionately to you today. Be blessed as you listen.
In calling me, serving in your house, Lord, doing your will. I don't want to be one of those who leave you, oh no, those who pretend around you, those who forsake you, and those who forget.
Face and say, I love you. Will you just smile and tell me, well done? Hallelujah. Oh, are you standing to your feet? And are you putting your hands together? Hallelujah. You know, as Mavis sang, I felt that that was a song we should all learn and to sing. Amen. There's no one else like Jesus that we should love. Amen. Oh, are you with me? You have left me. Yes, there's no one else like Jesus that we should love. You know, when you come to church, the songs that we sing, they are all intended to speak to you. Hallelujah. Yes, every song, every word, everything that is done on this stage is intended to minister to you. Hallelujah. Yesterday, I was invited to a wedding reception somewhere. I mean, by the time I left, my anointing had reduced. Yes, it was a church reception. Yes, 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 yes. I tell you. Yeah. But you see, when you come to church, when you come to the house of God, every word that you hear is ministering life into you. Hallelujah. Jesus said that the words that I speak, they are not just mere words, but they are spirits and they are life. That's why when we sing and when we preach and when we talk, it is ministering life into you. You are having more life this morning for the rest of the week. You are receiving life into your life for the rest of the week. Amen. This morning, as I was coming to church, I heard prophet say something. Prophet said that never think that you are in a mistake. Yes, that never think that where you are in a mistake. And this morning I want to tell you that you are not in a mistake. That your presence here in church is not a mistake. Look, turn to your neighbor and say, you are not in a mistake. There's no mistake happening in your life. That you have woken up from your bed and come to this beautiful auditorium, it's not a mistake. Tell your neighbor, it's not a mistake. There is no mistake happening in your life at all. Hallelujah. Are you excited to be in church this morning? I don't feel an excitement. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm excited about the time. I'm excited about the moments that we are in at this time. Listen, listen, listen. You know, this church is not... It's not some old Catholic church. I mean, not like Catholic churches, but old, you know, like we can't move 90 years. No, 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 no. We are young people. How many are young people in this church? Can I see some young people? Can I see some youngness? Can I see life? Hallelujah. It looks like there are some old people in this. Can I see movement? Perfect. Can you move around a bit? Get excited. The word of God is coming to us this morning. Amen. The Bible says that what went ye out for to see? Why have you left your home to come here this morning? Jesus said that did you go out to see a reed shaking in the wind? No, we have not come to see a reed shaking in the wind. That's not why we have come. Are you with me? We have not come. Did you go out to see a man clothed in soft raiment? That is not why we have come. In soft raiment means that he's wearing fine linen. He's wearing a suit and jacket and white shoes. That's not why we have come to church. Hallelujah. But we have come to meet a prophet. We have come to meet a prophet of God. Yeah. We have come to church today to hear the mouthpiece of God, to hear what God wants you to hear and to live on for this week. Are you with me? I've gone home. The Bible says that man shall not live on bread alone, but you shall live on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And this morning, the word of God is about to come from the mouth of God. The word of God is about to come from the mouth of God. And with Jesus' joy in your heart, with some young excitement, I want to see people running around.
I want to see people excited. Put your hands together and let's receive to our international stage the man of God, Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Oh, make some noise, make some noise.
Church, are you sure you are happy to be in church? Then clap your hands. Show that you are happy. It is a privilege for you to be standing in church. To be standing in church. Do you know you are standing in a church? Yeah. It's a privilege. It's a blessing. It is a very great thing. Because Satan doesn't want you to have anything to do with a church. He wants you to be outside there in the world. Because that is where he gets his meat. The Bible describes him like a lion. And every lion has where it gets its meat. Yes, this morning in church, we learned that in the dry season, the animals gather around ponds. And so the lions, when they want their meat, they go to the pond because they know that everywhere is dry. So the animals will come here. So the lions are around waiting. The crocodiles are inside the water, also waiting. So, Satan knows where he gets people to eat. So, when you find yourself in church, one of the big things that must occur to you is that you have had a chance to escape. And Satan wants to destroy you. Everyone standing here has a beautiful life. the little girls standing, the little boys, some of the boys standing here are going to be judges. It is possible that the first female president of Ghana is standing here. It's possible. Some of you here, you are a young boy, some 14-year-old boy, you don't even know what you are doing. But you may be one day the owner of large farms. Everybody here has a very beautiful life ahead of you. Very, very nice life. Everyone here. Nothing less than 7 of you in this room are going to be pastors of nothing less than 2,000 members you're preaching to. But you see, Satan, all the things I'm saying about your future is also true for those who are outside there. They are pastors in drinking bars. I'm a pastor now. When I was 13 years, 14 years, I was in nightclubs. So if you came to the nightclub there and saw me drinking and smoking, you wouldn't believe that a mega church pastor is the one with the job. Yes. So the world there also has got great destinies. But where they are, they are by the pond where the lions have gathered. Where they are. The only difference between you here and the girl who doesn't go to church is where you have chosen to locate yourself. That's all. The only difference between the deer that is eating and the deer that is not eating is where it chose to be. Not because it is faster or it is wiser. So when you are out there in the world, you are very, 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 very exposed to the lion eating you. That is why God selects people from the world and puts them in a church like this. That's why I'm saying that you are privileged to be in church. You are privileged to be in church. And if you are here, what should be your behavior? If you are in church, what should be your behavior? That's what I'm about to preach about. But I said you should clap your hands, and we are going to do that just to thank God that of all the places you could be, you are standing in church. Now clap your hands. Hallelujah. Listen. Satan will not get you. I know you are a 15-year-old girl, but I'm telling you that you will have a wedding, have children, live in a nice house, because you'll be protected by God. You will not, no girl here will be available to be eaten by the devil. No girl. No boy, young boy here will be available to be eaten by the devil. That's my prophecy for you. A prophecy is not only telling somebody something wonderful you see about the person. That I can see that you are sitting under a tree. And the fruits of the tree are swords about to fall. It's true. But that's not the only way prophecies come. Oh, I can see your car. It is parked on a hill. And the tires have been removed. It's true. Because since you began the Uber, it's been accidents. You've not brought money. It's at 4 months or 5 months. You've not brought money. And now you've gone to crash the Uber. You see, what I just said is actually something that has happened to somebody in the church. I'm even happy the person is not here. I just realized that I was speaking prophetically. I can't see the person in the service. That's not prophecy. That's not the only prophecy. I can prophesy to you by releasing the word of God into your life. That's a prophecy. When I say, listen, I've given you two types of prophecy. One is that I see in the spirit that last night you were crying in your bedroom. That's a prophecy. And God is saying that He's bringing you out. That's a prophecy. Another prophecy is that I just am around and I just come to you and say that you will marry. That word I've spoken, you may think it's a declaration, but it is a prophecy. In Ezekiel 17, when Ezekiel had a vision and saw a valley with dry bones, God told him, prophesy to the bones. Just speak to the bones. It is a prophecy. So when you sit in church and a pastor is preaching, he is actually prophesying to you. If I say to you that you are going to count money, don't say, oh, the pastor is declaring. Then at the bottom of that chapter, he also said, prophesy to the wind. That's a prophecy. So I'm telling you that where you are standing is your best chance of becoming different from your family members. Because all of us, our families, I have family. There are devils, there are curses, there are wonderful evils in every single family standing here. Everyone here. And what God does is that He puts you in a church for you to hear prophetic declarations over your life that make you resistant to the haranguing evils of your family. So I want to speak to you today not to joke with where you are standing. This place. Don't joke with it. If you joke with it, you will go back. And the lion will eat you. Because the pond is there. That's the pond. The pond is the water where the animals want to drink. And for a normal human being, the pond is not the church. The things you get in the church, they don't feed your natural lust. The pond, the lions are lying around the pond. The pond in the world is the pornography. The pond in the world is the worldly music, the hip life. It's a pond. The pond in the world is the dressing the dress. Last Friday, when I was driving from the flow prayer meeting from First Love, I passed in front of UPSA hostel. It must have been around 8:30 a.m. What I saw. It's a lake. The pond. What I saw. The girls, the dressing, they were mourning. I said, goodness gracious. Any boy lying by this pond will be eaten by a lion. You are likely to have 2 children before you finish school. So what God does is that He removes us from that pond, the pond of the world, and puts us in a church where there is a river flowing. There's a river. The streams whereof make it glad. We are also enjoying some water. Yes. But our water is not where the lions are lying. I want you to value the church you are standing in. Value your pastors. Value Reverend George. Value him. I told the church yesterday that Jesus on the cross said, "It is finished." That's why Jeremiah prophesied and said, "I will give you pastors who will take over." Where Jesus ended, the pastors on earth will be the saviors of men. Lift your hands. And pray that you are going to receive the prophecies that are coming today. The preaching of the word of God. In fact, the word to preach itself is a prophetic work, because you speak under inspiration. Lift your hands and pray that a word will come to you. A word will come to you. It's not a small thing. A word will come to you. A word will come to you. Father, we thank you for this amazing blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So, is there a page where you decide what you are wearing? Because I can see people are wearing red. There's a page. I see. Okay. I must be on that page so that I can also see it. And dress like you. But you're all looking very nice in your red. It's red and white. Or red and black. Okay. I also look for a red shirt. So today, we are doing core subject. Say core. The subject is fruitfulness. Our pastor wrote this book, and I'm preaching from it. There are many subjects. Not all the subjects are core. The subject of marriage is not a core subject. Because not everybody will marry. Must marry, should marry. It's not a core. A core subject is what everybody has to pass. You must pass. And a very important core subject which changes the mood of God is the subject of fruitfulness. Everybody has things that he tolerates, even though they are bad. So it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. But once a while, you do something that will let somebody's anger be expressed at its maximum intensity. I've been in meetings where people have been sacked instantly. Instantly. Even as I myself, I was surprised. I've been in meetings where people did things, and I was so angry, and I was surprised that my pastor was calm. I couldn't believe it. That if I was the one who was the leader, I would have removed. He's just calm. It's okay. He'll advise here and there. Because certain things are not core subjects. When you walk with God, you see, it's very painful when you make somebody feel that he's a fool. Very, very painful. And one of the ways to let someone feel that he's a fool is when the person invests something into your life and then you respond with you respond with negativity. It makes a father, a mother, a big sister, a friend feel that he was a fool to do what he did for you. Like Bishop said this morning, if somebody gives you a house, dashes you a house in Odoko, or a house in Medina, a story building, 5 bedrooms, a house, take it, and you say thank you to the person with a text message. See, you said thanks, but the person who gave the house will regret doing what he did to you. Because if it's a house, what you do is that early morning, you take your aunties, your uncles, your mother, your father, your pastor. You take hampers with drums following you. If somebody gave you a pen, you can text. Oh, thanks for the pen. Thanks for the pen. God doesn't like being made a fool. He reacts. And one of the biggest ways to make somebody a fool is to respond negatively kindness, to love. You see where you are sitting? You see where you are sitting? Look at your chair. Look at your chair. Look at the chair you are sitting on. It's not a small thing. You could be sitting somewhere like this. You don't know what God has done to organize you to sit here. You don't know what God has done to organize you to be here. Recently I was just asking myself, Abayuka, who sent you to Ahenso River? What's your problem? Then I knew that God was doing something. Many, 96% of the things I do them without. It's later that I understand what God was doing based on how the thing turns out. I saw a girl leading worship this morning in the Flow Church. When I saw the girl leading worship, I said, that service I started some 5 years ago was part of God's grand plan to change somebody's life. And sometimes the people don't even remember. But don't you understand the importance of certain people in their lives? But that's a subject for next week. This is the subject we are talking about today. One thing God doesn't like, and you wouldn't like it, to take a child to school, sell your cloth, sell your gold, remove your earrings, take it somewhere to collect money, pay school fees, buy mattress, and the child grows up, a girl grows up, only to take your wig and slap you with the wig. You wouldn't be happy to do that. Or that's a bit extreme. That when he calls, your mother calls you to come, you said you won't come. There are a lot of things we do that offend. Some of you can't see me. Let me stand where you can see me. There are a lot of things we do that offend. If you are listening to me, I'm telling you that when you are with God and you don't bear fruit, it offends him. It offends him. It offends him. And I remember the first message I preached in this series. It was a short message. I remember very well what was happening that day. But I told you that fruits, and I think it's time to just repeat that statement. When we talk about fruits for a Christian, a fruit is anything that is necessary at the time. That's a fruit. At the time, at any particular time, something will be required of you that's a fruit. And when the time comes and you don't have it, you don't have it, then you've not borne fruit. At this time of your life, you should have a Bible. And she, for instance, it's not just a Bible. Bibles. If at this time of your life you have only King James and New Living Translation, not this girl, not this one, but you, You offend God. Like as you are sitting here, you don't read your Bible. Bible reading is a fruit that's necessary for the time you are in. This life is a life that you must read your Bible every day. And if you don't read your Bible, it means that you are not bearing a fruit. A fruit is not just you have brought a soul to church. In fact, like I was it last week or so, I was teaching you, bringing a soul to church is not a fruit. Going to a drinking bar, what are you talking about? You see, these are the things that annoy God. You make God feel that like he's an idiot or he's not intelligent. So you are intelligent. So you go to a drinking bar and you go and take somebody from the drinking bar and bring that person to church to sit down and listen to preaching, and then you point to that person as your fruit. It's not a fruit. The church is not a place we bring unbelievers. You don't seem to understand what I'm saying. The church is not a place. Anybody who brings an unbeliever to church is offending God. You're offending God. We make altar calls in church because people just walk into church. An unbeliever can come into church on his own. And here's the pastor preaching. And he's prayed. That's why when you preach, you make an altar call. But you bringing someone to church, by the time you get to the gate, you have to ask yourself that, is this person born again? If he's not born again, you are doing something wrong. You are doing something wrong. Maybe you've not heard this before, but I'm telling you, it's breaking news from heaven. Your Christian life is waiting for certain wisdom keys. And one of the wisdom keys is one of the wisdom keys I'm sharing with you today. Are you in the service? Is that you must be very careful how you make God feel. Yes. I found the verse I'm looking for. I'm talking about fruits. And I've just, you see, last week I did that. And today I'm doing that also. It means, when you hear something twice, it means that God is bringing your mind. Listen to me. People get into church as unsaved, unbelievers. In the church service, they break down crying. They break down God just takes over their heart. They leave the building changed. That's why anyone who preaches must make an altar call. But I am talking about you bringing someone to church. Last week I told you that the stones that are used to build the church are stones that must be cut at the quarry. The church is not a place for noise, the sound of chisel and hammer and so on. And Peter says that we are stones. I'm warning those of you who are walking with God lazily, serving God lazily. When you are coming to church and you meet somebody and you are bringing the person to the church, make sure you catch the person properly. You shape her before you enter the church building with her. The Message Bible. I'm preaching about fruits. The stone blocks for the building of the temple were dressed at the quarry. Anywhere outside the church building is a quarry. Make sure before you enter the church building with the boy you met. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
The boy you met on the road. Before you enter the church, go and find a tree and sit down with the guy. And witness to the person. Read the Bible verse. Pray with the person. Shape the person up. You don't just get anybody and just logo the person to church. That the pastor should preach for the person to be born again. I'm not bearing fruit. That's what has led to pastors today who have never baptized a Christian before. Pastors today who have never taught a person the fundamentals. They themselves don't know it. And they have been appointed pastors. So that there was no noise. Give me the New Living Translation. The stones used in the construction of the temple were finished at the quarry. So there was no sound of hammer or axe. So the church is not a place. Now, today I want to show you another verse. Zechariah chapter 8. Fruit bearing. Verse 7. King James. Thus said the Lord. Behold. Watch it. I will save my people from the east country and from the west country. Verse 8. And I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And they shall be my people. This is even God. And I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. That's the order. He saves them before he brings them to Jerusalem.
Wow.
And this is Zion. Mount Zion. This is Jerusalem. Give me the verse 7, New Living Translation. The saving is done outside Jerusalem. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. You can be sure that I will rescue my people from the east and from the west. And I will bring them home. So anybody who comes to the house of God to live safely here should have been rescued already. Jerusalem is not a place to rescue people. I'm talking to somebody here. Those of you who think you are just serving God by bussing rubbish. You put rubbish on a bus. You bring people to church who don't even know that there is something called a Bible. The real fruit God looks for is the fruit of a soul who has been prepared. And it is in preparing the soul that you yourself become even solid and strong and established. Give me NIV. Verse 7. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will save my people. So he is bringing them to Jerusalem. They are in the east. Russia, Poland, Ukraine, England. He's gathering his people. But what he does is that, and the word, he didn't say, I will just bring them. I will save them. So when you see them on ships, coming to Israel, they are not just coming as Russians. They are coming as saved, rescued people. We are stopping this lazy way of working with God. That is why you can fill a bus with souls, but you don't even know the first scripture that has to do with salvation and how to groom a person to fit the church. So the person you bring to church is, as he's sitting there, he's got earphones in his ear and he's listening to Hip Life. As the pastor is speaking, and he's not a bad person. He's not a bad person. He doesn't know what he's about. The one who brought him should have saved him first. He wasn't cut. He wasn't saved. He wasn't dressed. He wasn't prepared. And these people are those who sit in the church. They are fornicating. They are thieves. They are unbelievers. They are actually unbelievers. People progress from that state to become pastors in the church. How do I make you a pastor? Well, the church you have built, the members you brought, the members in your whatever, and now you write exams. There's nothing about making somebody a pastor that rules out an unsaved person. You can't rule it out, because the person has been in the church for a very long time. That's why you can have somebody who is in the church and grows to become a bishop and is into Bob Marley. He's a bishop because it's not a bad person. The person who the church. Another thing I will tell you, and I'm preaching the word of God. Who's here today for the first time? Oh, no. Who is here today for the first time? Today is the first time. You are here for the first time. You are here for the first time. For the first time. Do you understand English? So you understand the message I'm preaching? Okay. Where's your Bible? There's no Bible. Okay. So, please get up. Please. There's something bad happened. I'm just using as an example. What's your name? Millicent. Beautiful girl. So you see, whoever brought this girl here, and there are many of you in the service now. Whoever brought Millicent to the church is doing something very bad. She's not been prepared. I'm preaching. She's not been prepared. Now, what is going to happen? I'll make an altar call. And Millicent will come to the front. No. And do something they call receiving Jesus. Now, I don't understand what is receiving Jesus about it. It's a call. We call you. It is rather what happens when they raise the placard and take you. That the real receiving Jesus is not here. It's a life that begins from under the canopy. That's what the Bible says. Those who endure to the end, they shall be saved. The same. So, Millicent is standing in church without a Bible, unprepared. The person hasn't prayed with her. Ideally, even on the bus coming to church, there should be prayer and singing to put them in the mood. Nothing like that has been done. The person just carried the person here. So what is going to happen is that Millicent is going to hear the word of God. The worst thing that will ever happen to Millicent is that she will come forward. That one, you know, something bad is happening to her. And then when she comes, the people who receive her play with her. The people who care for new converts, the judgment hanging on their heads. I can't. I'm talking about bus center leaders who bring people to church. Because you see, anything that is a blessing also has problems with it. In fact, the bigger the blessing, the bigger the problem it can give you. I'll take it again. I'm teaching. Anything that can do good to you, if I can be very good to you, then you should be very careful about me. You should be very careful. Because if you don't relate with me well, you will receive something that is also of the same degree. If something cannot be a blessing to you, you don't have to be careful about it. Like the boy sitting by, you don't even know who he is, you don't know her name, just bungalows. But your mother at home, you should be careful. Anybody, anything, let's take a knife. There are two types of knives. Sharp knife and unsharp, blunt, not sharp knife. Now, the not sharp knife, a proper woman making stew for her husband will not use the not sharp knife. It's useless. You can't cut meat with it. Now, the same way you can't cut meat with it, it can't also cut your finger. We use the very sharp knife to cut the onion and the maggi cube and the
I'm a chef.
I'm a chef. I'm a chef.
Now, the knife that you are using to cut the Maggi cube and the onions and the pepper, that knife, the ease with which it cuts the Maggi cube and the meat is the same ease with which it will cut your finger. So serving God, imagine going to Lagos by road. That's a whole day journey. You get there tonight. If you sit on a plane, 45 minutes. 45, not 1 hour. 45, take off and land Lagos. Cross. If you have an accident in a car on your way to Nigeria, we'll find you. Your leg is broken. There's a cut on your face, but we'll find you. We'll find you. The faster the machine. I said, the faster. Be very careful of anything or anybody or anything, any entity. That is a great blessing to you. That thing can also worry your life. The magnitude. So we all know that's how I'm a very blessed man standing here in front of you preaching. Through what? Being a doctor or a lawyer? No, pastor. I've been doing this for 30 years. I'm so blessed. I can't share testimonies openly on the microphone. No, I will confuse you. And it's not money. It's not money. Money people that don't have something. My blessings from serving God, you shall serve and he shall bless. Now, hold on. Now, that serving God that blesses you must be done well because it can also introduce a curse. You brought Millicent to church. Whoever brought her, I'm talking to the person. You brought her to church. Then the worst of it is that she will give, say a sinner's prayer, so she knows that she's born again. Then she goes, and the people there don't care about her. The bar center leader who brought the girl doesn't even mind her anymore, because to him, she is born again. So what has happened? Then I need you to sit down. Let me tell you what has happened to her. What has happened to her is the same way vaccines are produced. COVID vaccine. Measles, mumps, rubella vaccine. Anti-tetanus. Anti-snake. Polio. How do you get anti-snake? The vaccine, the medicine that if a snake bites you, we give you, it will fight the poison from the snake. When you are working and a rusted nail cuts you, you go and take tetanus. How do they get those things? Let me tell you how. COVID vaccine. You get COVID vaccine by introducing the germ, the virus that thing that kills people, the COVID killer. You give the person a little amount, enough not to kill the person. It doesn't kill the person. Normal COVID kills, but you give the person a little amount of the COVID virus. That will not kill him. But when it enters the body, it generates some substances in the body called antibodies. Now, that thing, you see, everyone's body Oh, beautiful. Everyone, your body has something in it that can fight sickness. But it must be stirred up. That's why it's not good to give birth to a baby and protect the baby hygienically, extremely hygienically in Africa. Extreme. The baby grows to 14, 10 years and has not touched any germ, has not sneezed. It's like the mother protects. I'm not saying that put your baby in toilet and bring the baby out. I'm preaching already. There is something we call in medicine immunization by default. By default. Immunization by default. That's it. The baby, as it is playing, and will drop the thing they put in the mouth, the pacifier, what? Teether and so on. It drops on the floor and puts it in the mouth again. It has taken some germs. It's part because that germ is going to stir up the baby's immune system. Yes. Listen carefully. It's called immunization. We have a doctor here. Immunization by default. That the baby, as it is around on its own, gets a mosquito bite or one job. It gets enough of the virus that doesn't make it fall sick. But the virus builds immunity, an immune response. So the next time the baby experiences a lot of the, oh Jesus, a lot of that virus, the baby is now 2 years and now experiences the proper germs. But the time the germs enter the body itself has already, by the pacifier and the teether and the rod, I have a baby in my house. I just gave birth recently. And the baby eats my skin. When I put her on my shoulder, she's actually eating my shoulder. And I know there are germs on my shoulder. I say, eat the germs. Eat it. It won't kill you. It will rather build immunity. So most of these, our children here, they don't go to hospital. Somebody can live till 20 years. Has not been to hospital before. Because the germs and the rubbish, the flies, the boy walking about is more than a vaccine. By default, it has been immunized. Now, I've said something very good. The same thing I have said is a sad story for a Christian. Where she gets a little of Jesus, a little of the word, and it builds up an immune response. So when she really meets Christ and his power and his word, the word that changes her. By the time this girl meets somebody 5 years ago who really introduces her to the real word and atmosphere, the word, a lot of power. By that time, because she came here to contact a little of Jesus, she would have developed antibodies. She's in the church here. She's sinning. She has a boyfriend. She's sleeping with somebody's husband. She's sleeping with somebody's whatever. She's in the church. She's in the choir because 2 years ago, she gave her life to Christ. But not enough. So many of you here have, if I make an altar call right now, over half of you should step forward. But you watch how many will step forward, because most of you here have developed immunity to Jesus. You are spiritually fortified with antibodies. Antibodies. So many of you, the word of God can't change you. 2 years ago, two years to come, a pastor preaches, break up with your boy, stop that stealing, stop that lying. It doesn't change you, because you are a Christian with resistance. That's why we don't bring rubbish. This is rubbish. This is rubbish. If somebody brought her there, she's rubbish. If she came on her own, she's precious. The person who brought her has groomed her to get just enough. So if you ask this girl next month whether she is born again, she will say she's born again. Meanwhile, she doesn't know even one verse. She has been immunized against Jesus by being introduced to a little of Jesus. So if Jesus Christ kills, if, let's say Jesus is a sickness that kills, a lot of you will not die. Because you are resistant. You are a film star, but you are fornicating. Choir leader will not even pray with you. I met the leader of the Dancing Stars, not this church, another church. I said, they were having an all night, many hours. I said, how many of the hours have you used to pray with them? They were just standing there looking at me. Dancing. But they feel they are in church. That's why these instrumentalists and so on, they feel they are in church. You are actually immunizing yourself. You see, what you need, what against the Jesus who must save you because of your experience in a certain church some years ago that deceived you, that you are now a Christian, you are now immunized. Today is Zechariah 8:7. He will save his people and then he will bring them to Jerusalem. So when you see them entering Jerusalem, they have been worked on. They have been rescued properly. They are not sitting in Jerusalem with Russia in them, with Poland in them. This is a scripture. If you go to the Yad Vashem Memorial, Jerusalem, it is written there, shall bring my people. Today I'm telling you, you save before you bring the person. That is how you yourself become spiritual. There's no spirituality in putting people on buses. People do so to take for political rallies. One of our pastors, when he was in Lagos, he was busing people to Kumasi, Kumasi Sports Stadium. If there's a match, Kotoko versus whatever, in Kumasi, he was busing people from Accra, Legon campus to Kumasi. So busing people to church does not mean you are doing anything. The real work is the work of feeding them. You feed before you carry. Isaiah 40 verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. The first responsibility before you carry someone, King James, I'll sack this boy. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. You feed before you even gather them. Before you carry them, there is a feeding. Have you fed that person you brought to church? You don't just carry. There's an order you must follow. You dress. You cut. I'm preaching on fruitful. How to be fruitful. You cut before you bring to the temple. That's why many of you will sit in the church for 4 years, 10 years. You only know church attendance because the person, the carrier of the person, has not first of all fed. I pray for you. This girl standing here could be a lady pastor one day. Oh, yes. But the one who brought her to church will be the one who has rather immunized her against Jesus. You can sit down. Thank you. She says, thank you. Nice. How do you bear fruit? I've taught you, you bear fruit, number one. Jesus' law, the first law of fruit bearing, is the law of being taken away. It's a law. Fruitless Christians will be taken away. John 15. That's a law. When you don't produce what we need from you, fruit, the definition of a fruit is producing the right things that are needed for the moment. If you meet a girl in a room and you don't produce resistance, you are fruitless at that time. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. It's a law. Law number two. Fruitful Christians will be purged. Fruitful Christians will be purged to make them bear more fruit. Once you show signs that you are maturing, you purge. To purge means, oh, this girl is doing well. Let's remove certain friends from her. Let's remove certain lifestyles. Remove this habit. Purge. Take her out from her classmates. Remove her. Purge her. This girl is showing interest, but she is into unbeliever music. We remove those. You purge. Then she does even more. Because God always wants more. Third law. Cleanness and purity are needed for fruit bearing. Clean. The trees that bear fruit are clean trees. And you become clean through the word of God that is washing you. Listen to the message I preached last week. Today, I'm ending. I've got just some 5 minutes. Let me just give you one more law. The law is... What's my book? Thank you. It's the law of closeness. Law number four. How many of you want to bear fruit? Jesus' fourth law of fruitfulness. Closeness is needed for fruit bearing. Closeness. And I'm just touching on it. Because it's a very important point that you must know. How many of you want to bear fruit? So, can I see your, how many of you want to bear fruit? Now, if you want to bear fruit, then let's read John 15, verse 4 as we close. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. Verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Any branch in me, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Amen. So, a law that makes you bear fruit, one of the laws you must obey, is called the law of closeness. Closeness. Say closeness. Now, when we say closeness, the next question, if you are a little intelligent, just class 2 intelligence, is closeness to what? That's class 2. Closeness to what? Closeness to God. To God. It's a core subject. That's the order. Closeness to Jesus.
closeness to the Holy Spirit. These three are important. And then closeness to your shepherd. I have a shepherd. I have a pastor. I am a pastor. But I have a pastor. In fact, what makes me a pastor is that I have a pastor. Anyone who doesn't have a pastor cannot be a pastor. I can give you a teaching on that. You must have a pastor and be under a pastor before you can be a pastor. Luke chapter 7. That's the story of the centurion. You must have a pastor. So please, I'm ending now. How many of you want to bear fruit? Have a Bible at the right time. Have quiet time. Win souls. Break away from that boy. Remove yourself from those friends. All these are fruits. It's a fruit. When we come to you, we must see that you have removed yourself from certain environments. It's a fruit. You have borne something. No one can bear fruit. Take me back to 15. No one abide, be near, be into, abide, close, be into God, be close to God, be close to His word, the Bible, abide. That's why I gave the order. What should we be close to? God first. Any pastor who allows people to come near him, who haven't been close to God already, and allows a certain level of closeness. I've made that mistake before. I tell you, you will pay a price if you are not a strong Christian. Love. I love you. But to allow you, you see, I can even bring you close to me. But when I discover that you are not close to God, I'll remove you. I'll distance myself from you. Anybody you bring, that is, if you are really, that is, if you intend to bear fruit, I'm preaching a very, 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 very important. I wonder whether I should even continue because you don't look ready to receive. Sakutaka. Brought somebody who is not properly born again into your life, into your office, into your house. Wow. Then you don't understand life. So as people are with you, always be testing their closeness to God. We are who we are. Not because we are near pastors. But because we are near God. Watch people. Don't let your children be too close to you. If they have not been close to God. Your finger, this finger, should be pointing them to God. And when they go to God, and they get God, they can come to you. It's dangerous. Because we don't have much. You see, listen, what I have to give you will not benefit you if you don't have God. Because God is the machine that processes what I have and makes it useful to you. Even my rebuke, foolish girl, sit, get away. That's in that get away. If you don't have God to process my shouting, you will get away. And what is, how can you be a father? Are you not a mother? Don't you shout? So why can't your pastor shout at you? But I will not shout at you if I am not sure you have God. Hey! Listen to me as I end. Your biggest closeness, the most important object you should be concerned about to be close to, is not a church, it's not a pastor, it's not a bishop, it is God, it is Jesus. If you have Jesus, then come to me. Come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be with a bishop, he's a new creature. No. If any man be in Christ. Christ will be first yesterday, will be first today, will be first tomorrow. He will be first. No. Listen, any shepherd, any pastor who tries to make himself important to you is a dangerous person. Without ensuring that you have God, it's a dangerous person. Say, order is God, number one. Always God, Jesus, Holy Ghost. Then, pastor. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 5. And this they did. Not as we had hoped. We're even surprised. We're not even expecting it. But first. First. That's the say order. First. I'm talking about closeness. They gave their own selves to the Lord. And then to us by the word of God. Listen, it's good your pastor knows you. It's good you are close to your pastor. But what should concern you is whether you are close to God. It's very important for you to be near me. Are you my sheep? Then you should be near me. Your responsibility is to weave your way. You must be close to me. You must to be. But as you are coming, know that the person you are coming close to is prepared to assess you. When I assess you and I discover that you're not a spiritual person, away bus. Because you are a dangerous missile to destroy my life. Want to bear fruit? Be close. And I'm showing you, this church, we don't make ourselves important. It's God. Read the books. Every verse is pointing. It's God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, anointing. God. The word God. If you are here, you don't read your Bible, you are not close to God. I'm showing anyone Who wants to bear fruit? Another fruit is a fruit of being a leader in the church. It's a fruit. You've been in this church for a very long time. You can't even be a shepherd. You can't be a shepherd. We need leaders to mobilize people. We need leaders to carry people. We need people, leaders to teach. You have been in this church for 20 years. You can't even become a shepherd. It means you are a fruitless tree. And when it comes to fruits, in the kingdom, there is nothing. Is it Abigail? There is nothing like, oh, I'm not ready. I'm writing remedials. No. There's nothing like I'm not ready. Everybody has a time. He is ready to be a shepherd. Everybody has a time. You are not, you can't function as a shepherd. We all have it. Because life is in times and seasons. There is a time you rise up to be a shepherd. There is a time which is not your time. But Abigail, can I tell you something? In the kingdom, you are only allowed, you can be in the church and not be a shepherd for as long as a demand has not been placed on you. As long as there's no need. Once we have enough shepherds, we can allow you to have your wedding, go on your honeymoon, have 2 children, stabilize them, and then you come to be a shepherd. We allow you because we have enough. But once there are empty chairs, there is nothing like, it's not my season. Fruit bearing has nothing to do with the tree. It has to do with a need. Fruit bearing has nothing to do with the tree. It has to do with the need. So when Jesus came to the tree, the fig tree, it was not a season. It was not the season. Even the Bible agrees that it was not the season. But when it comes to Jesus, there's nothing like, it's not my season. Once there is a need for figs, you got to produce, whether it is in or out of season. We want a song. We want a song right now. We are preaching. There's a song we need. And you say you are in your period. You are having cramps, so you can't sing. You are cursed. On a normal day, cramps from period, you must take para and sit down and rest. For as long as we don't need you, but once we come to you that we need you, haba, you better wear a belt and come and sing. I said fruit does not depend on the tree. It depends on the need. When we need, you better be ready. That's why Paul said, preach, be instant, that is ready, in season and out of season. In season and out of season. I saw you, stand up. When you came to put the chairs there, you have lowered your jeans, your boxer shorts are showing. It means he's not ready to be a shepherd. That's not his season. Because a proper shepherd can't be teaching and his boxer shorts are showing and he's lifting something. No. But right now, that we need shepherds.
whether you are wearing ladies' G-string, I'm preaching. Whether you are wearing boxer shorts or you are wearing lace panties, you must produce souls. While we are working on you to pull up your trousers. While what? While we are, because the master has need. It depends on the need and not the tree. Because trees have seasons. Closeness. When you are close properly, when you do this, you'll be ready. Barefoot. When you are not close, we have to jack you, wind you, pump fuel into you before we hear a little throttle. Today I'm telling you, he's going to come to you. He will say, you've been in the church for 3 months. How come you don't have anything to show? What's going on? Awebas. That's the first law will be applied to many of you. Many of you who are not bearing fruit have a legitimate reason not to bear fruit because it's not your season. Like daddy, you just came to this church. Today your first time. It's your first time. I don't know you. I don't know whether you are a chief of a village. I don't know what you are. It's a legitimate. To ask you to go and do outreach is madness. But when there's a soul perishing there, Abba. That's why in John 4, when Jesus met the Samaritan woman, the need in the town was so urgent that a new convert, 3 hours, she had to go and win souls. Because fruitfulness has nothing to do with the woman. It is the need. Oh, and ladies and gentlemen, God needs you. The master needs you. You see the service we are having? We are going to bring more chairs. They are there already. Those are nicer chairs than these ones. Yes, chairs like this one. Cushioned. Like this one. Bring more. We'll fill here. Daddy, once we bring the chairs, you should be a shepherd. One time. Instant. I know that it's not your season. You need 2 years. You need 2 years. It's not fair. But once the chairs arrive, there's nothing like I just joined the church. There's nothing like I am fornicating. There's nothing like I am not born again. Every hand, every moving. As you are moving, then we are working on your salvation. Stand to your feet. Are you ready to serve God? Stand up. She left her water pot and went into the city. By the time she was coming back, is there, and said to the men, this woman had just met Jesus 2 hours ago. Two what? Not 2 weeks, not 2 days, not 2 months. Fruitfulness has nothing to do with the type of tree. It has to do with the need. You must. Once the master needs this ass, whether somebody has rented it or not, the master has need. Call the man and say that something has happened. You can't bring the ass. The master, if the master has no need, oh, do your business. Go ahead. Render us. So many of you are free because a demand. When we fail here, and here. Here, and we feel here, and here, and all here. Hey, whether you are in your period, you are in your migraine, you are in your leave. Whether you are writing remedials, whether you are not well, whether you are busy at work, whether you were just employed. You were just employed. Now, there's no need for you. The need we have. Oh, I forgot to tell you. Next week is a very special Sunday. I want to see 30 singers on the stage singing next week. Otherwise, I'm shutting down the choir permanently. Next week, Sunday, there should be 30 singers. You see, for the past 4 weeks, there's been no need. There's no need. Because everyone has out of season. It's not my season. Everybody. Even the Bible says in season and what? Out. Everybody. But you are allowed to go on leave when you are out of season for as long. Hey!
Written.
For as long as there's no demand. Like you film stars, you come and act without prayer. You've not rehearsed. You come and sit down and talk rubbish. Abba! There's no need. Once the need comes, you will sit there and be preaching to us. Lift your two hands. Lift your two hands. We are closing. It's time. Wow. It's time. I gotta go. I'm going to preach. Lift your two hands. Lift your two hands. Lift your two hands. And pray. Lift your two hands and pray. Pray for yourself.
Close to you, Lord.
Pray for yourself.
Oh,
pray. Lord, may I be close to you, Lord. May I be close. Somebody lift your hands. Lift your hands and pray. Pray to the Lord. Lord, I want to be close to you. May we be close to you, Jesus. May we be close to you, Lord.
Oh, Jesus.
That will be bear fruit, Lord. That will bear fruit. Nasataki alega devehenelebe. Manlendo brodoko for hosota. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
We trust that you have been mightily blessed and affected by the word of God preached by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Do join one of our lovely services from the Makenere Cathedral near Valley View University, Oyibi, Accra, this and every weekend at 7:30 p.m. on Saturdays, as well as 7:30 a.m. and 12 noon on Sundays. Connect with Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo on Facebook Live, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for joining us. God bless you.